Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to get right into this message. And Jesus has dismissed his disciples and told them to go forth and minister. And Jesus is now going to go through their cities and towns of the 12. And he's going to go into the synagogue and he's going to teach the people. And as he's teaching the people, John doesn't quite know if he's the one that should come. Isn't that interesting? John is in prison and John has doubts. A man of faith, man of power, sent by God, has doubts. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever had doubts? Yes. Oh, I'm talking to real people here, not some faith fakers. All right, so we've all had doubts, have we not? Yes. All right, so here's this man of God, faith and power, camel's hair, eating honey and locusts, and he's in prison, and he's wondering, is this really Jesus? And so he sends a couple of disciples. He says, hey, go and tell them the dead's been raised, right? Deaf here. The gospel's preached. I'm the one. Isn't that what he said? And so the disciples leave, and then Jesus is going to talk to the multitudes. And so he tells the multitudes what's happening. He said, if these towns would have repented, he tells about what would have happened, right? He says, hey, if these towns would have repented, they wouldn't have been wiped out. He's talking to the people. He's telling them, if Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, mighty works but been done in you, verse 21, been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Remember, Jesus knows the heart of the people, does he not? He knows our heart. That's why to fake with God is not good. We fake with people, that's not good. That's lying, that's sin. When you're a fake and a phony, that's not being a Christian. Jesus is the Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. But if you never confess your sin, how's he going to save you? He can never be your Savior. He wants to be the Savior all the time, but if you don't let him be your Savior, he won't. Well, I got saved, bless God, in 1945. Good for you, Charlie. Good for you, Mary. He's still your Savior when you get into sin. He's going to be the Lord when you allow him to get that sin out and you start walking right. Now he becomes Lord. Difference between Savior and Lord. People say, I got saved and now Jesus is my Lord and Savior. They got it wrong. He's your Savior and your Lord. See what I'm saying? Sometimes we get things backwards, and that's what messes us up in the body of Christ. Could you imagine if I put my shirt on backwards today and I came up to preach and say, you'd say there, sir, I know you're smart. You'd say, that guy's he's not very bright. He's going to preach to me and tell me about God, and he can't even put his own shirt on right? Come on, you know you would say that. You would think that, wouldn't you? You'd probably tap your neighbor and say, he's got a short load of a full deck, that guy. I don't know. We better get Pastor David back here quick. He said, should we tell him? Well, his wife's sitting there kissing him, so we better tell him both. He said, the wife's about as goofy as him. Right? How many sort of two birds of a feather, they flock together, right? Two peas in a pod, right? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, but see, if I wasn't going to be corrected, then I'd be in pride, wouldn't I? What if my friend came up to me and said, hey, now, your shirt's on backwards. I say, bless God, no, it's not. Praise God, it's on right. Can't you see that, brother? You don't have spiritual eyes. Love covers a multitude of sins. But wouldn't that be stupid for me not to listen to this man that's trying to help me out? Huh? And then how does that look if I'm trying to share the gospel and I got my shirt on backwards? Do you think people are listening to me? No, they're looking at that shirt. Ooh, doesn't that go for our life? Come on, some of our life, we've got the shirt on backwards. We're in sin, and we need to ask God to be the Savior in that sin. But we're trying to make him Lord, and we got the thing in the wrong direction. He came to save his people from their sins. These people were in sin. God loves them. God's not there to beat them up. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida, for the mighty works which are done and you have been done in Tyre and Sidon. Verse 24. They would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, he's talking to the multitude, it'd be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon the day of judgment than for you. He's talking to people. Now, the multitude. Now look what he says. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works were done and you have been done in Sodom, they would have remained to this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, the multitude listening to me right now. Did all those towns have sin in them? Yes. The mighty works that were done in them was the preaching of the gospel to get them out of sin. And here's these people, and God's trying to show, Jesus said, hey, this is why I came. This is why the good news is preached, to get you out of the same thing that Tyre and Sidon are in, that Chorazin and Bethsaida are in, call sin. We're afraid to say sin. It's missing of the mark. It's the bullseye when you go to hit something. Arrow, pow, bullseye. If you miss it, sin. But we say it this way now, issues. We all have issues. Right? Have you heard that? Dude's derailed in the mind, got issues. She's freaked out, she got issues. I'm doing fine, brother. Thank you. She's doing, you know, got issues. Everybody got issues. It's not issues. Sin. Sin. Sin is missing the mark. Now, check this out. At that time, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. Look at that. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things. Look at, you have hidden these things. What's this now? You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent. And have revealed them to babes. Because see, the wise and prudent always think they know everything. You ever met those people, know-it-alls? They know everything. You could be saying the word and they're preaching it to their wife. They're saying, they're finishing it out. You go to that scripture and they know that scripture. They're so prideful and full of wisdom, are wise in their own self, which God says is not wise. And they think they're so diligent in doing things right that all they are is real religious because their heart isn't right. Are you following what I'm saying? And God's saying, hey, thank you for hiding it from those goofballs because they'll get the word and tear it up and twist and hurt people with it. Do you follow me? God didn't come here to hurt you today. God came here to heal you today, to help you today, to minister to you today, to get the pride out of your life today. Listen to me, to get out of the mully groves, to get you out of depression today. Listen to me, to get you out of making wrong decisions, stinky thinking, thinking the wrong things, speaking the wrong things, acting the wrong way. God came to change your heart. He came to change your soul. He came to change your mind, your will, and your emotions. If you can't change your soul, you can't change your life. Because though you may be saved and born again going to heaven, you only will allow so much of heaven to be working according to what you receive in your soul. And see, a lot hasn't been taught on the soul. But I'm going to teach you today a little bit. And then I'm going to leave, and God's going to continue to do the work. And pastor's going to come, and he's going to minister to you, love you, help you. Look at this. Even so, Father, verse 26. Let's go back to this. You hidden these things, look at this, these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Jesus said, you must become as little children, correct, to enter the kingdom. You know what happens sometimes? People forget that they're little children and keep growing. They think they've grown to a place where they're adults and never stop, you know. They quit learning. Or to be like children. He said, you've hidden it from the wise and the prudent. The reason being is, watch this. The wise and the prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Revealed them to babes. People that, listen, kids don't argue with leadership. Kids don't argue. They take things and apply it. That's what a child does. Now look at this. Even so, Father, verse 26, for so it seemed good in your sight. It was good that you hid it from these wise and prudent ones. It was good that you did that and revealed it to babes. Because now the kingdom can really move because they won't become religious like the rest of the people that were in Sodom and Gomorrah and the people that were in Chorazin and Bethsaida. They won't be religious people. They'll actually be, watch this, disciples that you will move through that will shake this earth and bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who puts his trust in him. We are living trees of Christ. People should taste our life and not go, ooh, but oh. Most religious people are the ones the world doesn't want to have anything to do with it. What they want to see is reality. They want to see truth. They want to see the proofs in the eating of the pudding. They want to see it. The good, bad, and indifference. How are you going to act when everything goes down? They're going to want to see that you're real. hey, I'm having a hard time right now, but I believe God's going to help me. Then they watch that when you come through it. I've had people time and time again when I pastor tell me, hey, I'm coming to this church because so-and-so. I go, really, why? Tell me about it. I used to know them before. I see them now. And I go, really? I say, yeah, whatever they have, I need. Can you help me? Yeah. We watch it time and time again, my wife and I. I'm bragging on God. We go into a town, my wife and I would be the only one there, start a church, less than 3 months, 40 people, born again, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, the church is exploding. Why? Why? Wait a minute, wait, why? I'm going to tell you why. Teaching the principles of the Word of God, because if you can get a hold of it and become like children, you will change and people will notice you. People know who you really are. So when the change happens, they go, something happened to you. What's going on? It's happened at that church. I got to go down to that church. I'm serious. And they hear the word and they get saved. And they even see you with all the bad stuff that goes on, the sin in your life, the troubles, all the things they deal with. But they know there's a peace in you because he's the Prince of Peace. And they change. You know who they run from? The religious ones. I worked with a religious guy. Man, he could quote scriptures and he would interject when people were talking. He would, in the spirit, be like this. Move out of the way. I know what I'm talking about. Get out of the way. I know. Come on. Let me tell you about it. And he'd have his machete out just chopping up people like this. He was a mercenary for Christ on the job. And this guy came up to me and said, Lenny, because they call me Lenny. I was a carpenter. I was a framer. And they said to me, Lenny, you have Jesus, right? I said, yeah. He goes, he has Jesus. I said, yeah. How come you're so different? I said, he's just young in the Lord. Well, he said he'd been saved a long time. I said, he don't know God. He knows about God. I said, he's just ripping people up. He goes, I know. Would you tell me more about your Jesus? Let's meet on a Saturday. Have breakfast. This man opens up to me how he's got a wife, got kids. Opens up to me and says these words. I've been having thoughts about women who run down the street and I see myself raping them. And I said, that's wrong. It's of the enemy. God can help you. He goes, I want help. I want help. I don't want to be like this. I love my wife. I love my kids. Right there, I said, let me share about Jesus. He's the Savior. He came to save his people from their sins. That sin is no different than anybody else, so and so. Would you like to receive my Jesus, the Savior? Would you want him to save you? Yes. Right there in the country kitchen of a little bit of restaurant, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He's one of the strongest pillars in the Baptist church right now, and all his kids are saved, serving God, and he's got grandbabies and everything. But the mercenary he didn't want to have nothing to do with that Jesus. You follow what I'm saying? And then he got saved, and his wife got saved, who was a stripper. He was a stripper? Yeah, Jesus came for strippers too. And then all the strippers started coming, and they got saved. And we had strippers in our church. They were saved. I wanted to ask them, any of these rascals in here been to the strip joint? But I didn't. I was a good pastor. I never said a word. But I wonder if there's any Christians here saying they're Christians going to the strip club. Because you know what I would have told them? I would say, quit telling people you're a Christian and start getting right with God and say you're in sin. Let's get this thing right. You keep hiding that sticker on your car as you're going down the road, stopping at some strip joint. Take the sticker off and then you put it back on. The magnet ones, you know? Honk if you love Jesus. I'm just saying. Pull up the bar, have a few, get in there and drive drunk. That's sin. Everybody understand? God came for that. You yell and scream at your wife and wonder why your prayers aren't being answered. Wives that are acting wrong, taking control of the family, nagging, being mean, nasty to their husband. That's wrong. That's sin. Everybody understand that? Negative thoughts. I'm no good. I can never do anything right. God came to deliver you from that. Oh, I had a baby and gained a bunch of weight. Big deal. I don't feel like I used to when I was 18. Neither do I. The only thing that fits my wife since she's 18 is her earrings. But I love her. I got more for the money, abundance. Hallelujah. And you know what? Her love never changed. So what? She used to tell me, look at this, look at that. I said, let me look. I don't really care. I still like to look. No, but see, we don't want to be real. We don't want to be real. I'm not asking everybody to get up and confess their wrongs. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about be real with God. Because God will be real with you, and sometimes it may come out in public. And when it does come out in public, I'm going to be right there with you. When the embezzlement thing goes down, I'm standing there, and they're taking pictures of us together and say, oh, yeah, they sinned, but they're right with Jesus. Well, they're going away for 20 years. I go, that's right, and I'll go visit them once a month, but they're right with Jesus. What you going to write about now? You see what I'm saying? There's consequences to sin, folks. Don't anybody, don't lie. I heard a preacher, backslidden preacher, getting a divorce from his wife, say, the Lord told him. The Lord told him. Backslidden, lying preacher. How can you say that? Just saying what Jesus said. Sin is sin, right? Didn't want to get right. Telling everybody he's a Christian. God spoke to him. Going to leave his wife. Has no grounds for divorce. She's a sweetheart. Going to leave his wife. Your sin will find you out. It will come out when you don't think. I'm doing a little meeting. Are you still with me? I'm talking about Chorazin. I'm talking about Bethsaida. I'm talking about where you're living. I'm living. Life. Don't hide. Come clean with him right now. Don't wait till the end of the service. Repent. Have a change of mind. Change of heart. Change of direction. God will work on the credit system. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I've been going down. I've been looking at pornography. I can't spell it, but I've been looking at it. Help me, Jesus. He will. I've been a nag. Help me, Jesus. I want to stab my wife. Help me, Jesus. You don't think that happens in the church? It does. I was close to 30 years of ministry. You see, I've seen a lot. I don't want to tell you, but I've seen a lot. But I've seen a lot of good. I'm doing a little. We're in a little bitty town. We're about, what, maybe 1,500 people. 1,500. Don't even have a signal light in this little town. Our church run about 40 people. And I remember we did this outreach at this high school. And I was a youth pastor there. The youth group was 2. I'm sorry, it was 32. Forgive me for lying to you. I don't want to exaggerate. It was 32 people got saved, little kids. We had 2 in the youth group. God started moving. We had 32. Well, we did a little outreach there. And my pastor said, he wanted me to come on. I said, hey, can you do something here with these youth? I said, sure. So I said, let's have a big wide city meeting. Big wide city. 1,500. We're going to have a big city meeting. Let's go rent the middle school and have one. He said, let's do it. We have 200-something people show up. And I'll never forget, I preached on the secret service of Jesus. I said, are you a secret service for God? In other words, you go like this. You got a badge. You go. You find another Christian. You go, hey, I'm a Christian too. Don't tell no one. And I said, it's time to get rid of your secret service and come out and just love Jesus and get right. Well, I give an altar call, and the girl comes down, and the mic is on. And her daddy was involved in a church, sang in a choir, and her boyfriend, his dad was a deacon, and the wife of his daddy, who was a deacon, was one of the big deacons that pioneered the church in this little country town. He's in his 80s, and this is his daughter married to this guy. And this little girl comes down crying, weeping, and she gets up, and the mic is on. The mic is down here, and here comes everybody forward to pray. And they got 200-something people in that town. It's like Peyton Place, man. Everybody knows everybody. And We got the mom and dad up there, and they're smiling, tears are crying, their daughter's coming back to Jesus. You'd be happy, wouldn't you? How would you like to hear this if you're the daddy?
I need to pray. I'm in sin. I'm not a virgin.
She didn't know the mic was on, and it went out through the whole place. When the daddy comes shooting out, whoo, right out of the stands, directly coming to me. Well, he knows who the rascal is. It's the deacon's son. We got problems in our church we didn't know about now. But guess what? Wasn't nothing God couldn't do. We got rid of all the sin. We got dealt with the sin. And guess what? Our little church took off. That little church. We had over 32 kids, teenagers saved. Mommies and daddies came. Filled up the balcony. We baptized over 40-something people in that tub. That baptism hadn't been used in over 35 years, and I was inside there baptizing people. The heads of nails were popping off, and the wood was floating to the top. I was throwing the wood out. I was baptizing people, picking up wood, throwing it out, baptizing them. The whole place erupted for Jesus Christ. The town said, "What is going on in that little religious thing?" Thing was breaking loose until the deacons got a hold of it. Deacons can be in sin. Kid came in with a hat on. I'm glad you're riding a hat. Wear your hat. Jesus loves that people wear their hat. Guess what the deacon said? Tell that young guy to take that hat off. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I thought to myself, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. You understand what I'm saying? I thought, I'm not doing this. And I walked away as the deacons were telling the pastor. And I told the pastor, don't you dare do this, pastor. I have to. Listen to what he said. They pay my salary. I thought, you hireling. That guy was, he was older than me. I was young. I had a lot of hair, too. And it was black. I was 32. Remember that, babe? I was fit. I was lean, mean. I wasn't mean. But anyways, do you know that they ran out? Listen, the moms and dads got saved. We had a devil worshiper give his heart to Jesus Christ as mom and dad came up. And I'm standing out front. And they said, we're Ronnie's parents. Big old smile. And I said, hi, how you doing? We came down here because we didn't know if he got in a cult or something. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, he used to dress in black. You remember he was a Satanist. I thought, he was already in a cult. But I didn't say nothing. She goes, he changed so radically. He don't wear his black trench coat. He doesn't wear his dye his hair black anymore. He told us he got a Bible and he met Jesus Christ. We want to come down here and see if he wasn't in some kind of cult. I said, come on in and join the rest of us culters. I said, we're not in a cult. And they came and saw that. Their life changed. Peoples were getting saved. Moms and dads were coming. Families were coming. As fast as they filled up, we had 144 people give their heart to Jesus Christ, added to the church in less than 2 weeks. And in 1.5 months, the deacons ran them all out. Every last one except me, my wife, and my three kids. My two kids and my son-in-law. And the Lord said, leave. And I left. And to this day, that church has gone nowhere. But Jesus came, did he not? Did Jesus do a great work? Oh, yeah. Let's go on. Are you okay with me? Yeah. Folks, don't mess around. It's not mess around time. Just be honest. God sees you. I don't like my husband. Good, he knows that. Why don't you confess it and have him help you and he'll change your heart. Little, you know, the youth, we don't want to talk about this, but youth sometimes thinking about killing themselves. You see, when we think of youth, a lot of people say, oh, well, they just got their hormones out of control. We got to preach on sin and sexual sin. Oh, let's forget that mess. It's mess, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying a lot of them are dealing with stuff that's in their mind like, hey, should I try pot? It's becoming legal. Man, I'm thinking about taking my grandma's opiums because I heard those opiates, man, get you high. I want to check out. My mom and dad are fighting at home, but yet they're supposed to be teaching a Bible study. It's like hypocritical. I mean, really, is God really real? These kids are dealing with stuff you never even thought about. You just start thinking about sexual sin. Sexual sin will come out. You want to know how it will come out? Let me teach you 101 teaching on youth. I used to be a youth pastor. Let me teach you. When the girl starts crying, she's been sleeping with them when they break up. And she can't get over it. Chances are, they've been sleeping together. when they cry and cry and cry and cry. Because they join themselves together and rip themselves apart. Because I watch my daughter, and she'd break up with some guy, she'd be like, he lost. Till the day I watched her weeping, weeping, weeping. As a pastor told my wife, she slept with him. They end up getting married, but that ain't right. Do you understand what I'm saying? And she weep and weep and weep and cry and cry and cry and weep and cry. I told my wife, they're sleeping together. My wife said, I know it. What are we going to do about it? My wife looked at me, what are you going to do about it? I said, forget about it. He's mine. The wrath of God. No, I didn't. I said, we're going to pray because they need to come to a place of repentance, because if they just try to keep their flesh under control because of me, that's not going to help them. They're never going to get free. They're going to go right back into sin, mess up. You know, my daughter did. She repented and told that rascal, I'm not sleeping with you anymore. You get out of my life. He was gone. He went down to Oregon State on a baseball scholarship. She went to University of Western Oregon, become a teacher. God spoke to her, said, I'm supposed to go to Bible college. I'm leaving. We said, good. He came up after she was gone at school, comes up to me and says, I want to marry your daughter. But don't ever think I'm going to become a pastor. I said, I didn't say nothing about becoming a pastor. I said, but you better check with her, with my daughter. And so she said, you know, we're dating. She said, but I told them we're not sleeping together. They went through the process for 1 year of dating and courting, and not once did they sleep with one another. Now, that's tough when you've already slept with somebody, and then you're not sleeping. But when you get free and you get rid of that sin, whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't have to worry about it. They didn't put themselves in those positions. You know, I'm going to say something now. You as a parent, especially a Christian parent, what you letting your kid be alone in a room with another person when you're not there? Now, that's just ignorance gone to seed, or I'm going to put it a different way. It's stupid. You're just setting them up to fail. Well, I trust them. Oh, you really do? Why don't you give them the keys then and let them drive without a license, because that's what you're doing. You're there to guard, govern, control. And then if they get mad at you, big deal. Why are they getting mad? What are they doing that they're hiding? If they can't do it out in front of you, they can't do it. They're, you know, it's not right. See, I can say these things because I'm just stepping in here. Pastor David didn't tell me to say this. I'm just following the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? I'm on staff at another place anyways. No. And they love me over there. No, I'm just joking. I know you love me. I'm just being truthful and honest. Can we just be honest? Be truthful. I just told you about my family. How about my son, the football quarterback? Hey, let me tell you about him. I'm pastoring the church in the town. We're blowing out the seams. Here comes my kid off the bus. Hey, we beat the F out of him. I looked at him. I said, what did he say? And my wife said, you're the preacher. That's your kid. And the people sitting up in the right by there, go, that's your kid, preacher. I said, oh, yeah, what am I going to do? And he saw me. Hey, Dad, we won. Did you see again? I said, I saw it, buddy. It was great. And I'm thinking, how am I going to handle this? Not because everybody looking at me. I could care less. Because we all have sin. He who says he has no sin is a liar. We all have sin. See, if you see things in the right way, sin doesn't bother you. The ones that are sitting there going, he keeps talking about my sin. He's going to hit mine sooner or later. Oh, yeah. He's going to hit it. He's trying to get, he brought you here today to get you free. You don't see that, though. We don't see sin for what it is. It's going to kill you. It's going to come out when you least expect. He's trying to get you from not committing suicide spiritually. You're already dead right now. You're walking around dead with a Bible quote and stuff and saying things, and you're a million miles away from him. You understand what I'm saying? You know I'm preaching better than you're looking at me. And I know I'm teaching good, too. Because why? Because I'm teaching the word of freedom. Some of you are getting free. So here's my son. Hey, Dad, you see us? I said, oh, I saw you, buddy. I thought, how am I going to handle this? So he goes in to take a shower. And my wife's telling me, calm down, because she knows me. You calm down. See, because I have a rule in my house. You step to the plate. You tell the truth. We get this thing right. Your cruises, you be truthful. You're Christians. You represent me. You represent Christ. You represent your mama. And when you're out in that town, what they see of God, what they see of us, that's the truth. And you're going to set up right. But I don't tell them, you're going to get out of this house. Bless God, I'm going to rip your arms off, all this. That's the problem. That's fear. So watch this. He comes out. I told my wife, I'm going to take him with me. Remember that, baby? So she drove home with my daughter, and I'm in the car. I know my wife's praying for me. My daughter's praying for me. She's praying for him. I said, hey, buddy, man, you played good today. I said, but you always play good, and I love you. It don't matter what the score is or any of that. It's never going to change. I said, but I heard you throw the F-bomb. I said, we need to talk about that. He goes, Dad, listen to what he said. Dad, I let my emotions get the best of me. I said, yeah, but there's something deeper inside there, buddy. Because I let the emotions get inside of me, but that never comes out of me. Who are you hanging with? Who are you listening to? Because something got in your soul that's a part of you now. And if we don't deal with that root, you'll be able to control around certain people, but it's still going to come out. I'm training him for his wife. I'm training him for my grandkids. And I need some good grandkids. I don't need the Star Wars bar scene family. You follow what I'm saying? I need real people. Sure enough, he was hanging with some wrong kids. So guess what we did? I said, you're not going to play next game. I said, you're going to write an apology to everyone on the team, to your coach, and you're going to stand up and you're going to ask them to forgive you. You're going to get right with God. I'm going to get right, Lord. I got right with the Lord already. He already had done it. I said, good. Well, now you got to get right with everybody else that hurt you and you did this to. Because, see, they know you as preacher. Don't they call you preacher? He said, yeah, they call me preacher. So I said, I'll take care of the coach. So I went up to the coach and said, hey, coach, my boy's not going to play the next game. He said, what? I said, didn't you hear what he said? They don't all. I said, not my boy. My boy don't all. My boy does right. And he did wrong. He's going to make it right. He's not playing. He's not going to, he can suit up, but he's not going to be on that football field. You understand me? That's how I told him. He said, yes, sir. I said, and he's going to apologize to you and the rest of the team. Will you give him some time practice? He said, yes, sir. So my son got up there, wrote a letter, read it to him. And the kids, they forgave him. And a lot of his friends came to Jesus Christ. And he went on, went and played college football, got a degree, was on the dean's list. But what if I would have just let him get away with speaking foul like that? Thank you. And what would his kids be doing right now? My little grandkids that we just spent the night with. Yeah. My little grandkids tell me this, though. Oh, Papa, I love you. You don't think I'm out? I'll open up that checkbook. What you want? My little granddaughter run up to me, Papa! I said, oh, what does she want? Do you know what I'm saying? It opens up your heart. I look at that and I say, that's because of my son. That's because of God. I have breakfast with my son once a month. We started something. We sit down. We become men talking real stuff, talk sin. We talk life. We talk marriage. We talk things. We talk about sex. We talk about all kinds of stuff. Why? Why do I do that? Somebody tell me why I do that. Because I love him. That's right. We deal with stuff. Because I don't want my son to train wreck. He's 37 years old, 36 years old. Isn't your parenting done? No, I'm not in the grave yet. I mean, I'm not controlling him. But he's my friend. I love him. God never gave up on me. I'm just an extension of God. God is my friend. I'm his friend. And you know what I found out about my son? He just tells me the truth. Yes. And I don't ever change my facial expressions because he knows I love him. He could tell me Eddie went and shot somebody in the head and murdered him. And he knows Daddy will love him. Daddy will help him, but he's going to go to prison. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. No, my son knows that. I'm serious. And my little ones know that. There are consequences. My little guy, who's a soccer star, God's blessed my family athletically. I'm telling you, my son-in-law got a scholarship at football or baseball at OSU, left there and became a minister. Remember the one that said he didn't want to become a minister? Became a minister. Gave up a scholarship, was going to be drafted by the Major League Baseball and play Major League Baseball for a lot of money. And he went into Coach Casey when they turned to Oregon State around and said, Coach, I'm leaving. He said, I got a higher call. He said, Jamie, you're going to get drafted. He said, I already got drafted. I'm going in the ministry. He said, see you later, son. Best to you. But guess what he has? Three beautiful grandkids and my wife and my daughter. And my wife loves that guy. And he's in the ministry, and he left the ministry, has his own business now, and he's doing fantastic. But my kids are all athletes. My grandkids. My daughter was an athlete. We never put that in. We never tried to do any of that. Does everybody understand? That's a grace of God. That doesn't make them better. It just used plateaus for them to share. And now I have these little ones. They love music. They love to sing. And my little one, sometimes I have to get a hold of her. Yesterday I was playing some music. And I'm going to tell you, I was singing country western. Some of you, that just, whoa, you really backslid. Oh, yeah, I like it too. I mean, it was great. I said, she don't know how beautiful. No, she don't know how beautiful. That's what I was singing. Sammy Crenshaw. She don't know how beautiful. And guess who my grandkids are doing? Strumming the guitar. And I had to tell the little one, you're getting a little out of control. Now slow down. She got mad at me. I had to deal with that soul issue. It's not about you. It's not how loud you can be over Papa. You're making noise when that thing should be nice. You see what I mean? And then she, okay. I told her, put the guitar away now, baby. Okay. Why? Because she was just crank, 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 crank. You see what I mean? I was like, no, I'm not going to have this. I'm helping her. Does everybody understand? And they help me, too. Sometimes they come up to me. And I listen to them. You know, God will lose a little three-year-old to get right in you. Right in your grill. Yes. Papa, you ran that red light. I said, no, it was yellow. They said, it was red. I said, you're right. Forgive me. Papa lied. Papa lied. I lied. It was yellow when I started, but it went red. You're truthful. Papa was wrong. Please forgive me. We forgive you, Papa. And you know what they do when they get home? Papa was driving fast. I said, I was. I'll slow down. And he ran a red light. I said, I did. But I'm thankful because I'm not in sin. You know what's sad? It's when your grandbabies come up to you. Why? Because they heard other people do this in the church. Does Papa cuss? Does Papa swear? Mimi? Does Papa? He don't treat you bad. And my wife said, oh no, Papa, he don't cuss. He don't do that. Oh, because I've never seen him do that. My wife said, do you think Papa would do that? He said, no. But why'd they ask? Because they see other Christians doing that. Why are you talking like this? Why are you saying that? Because God just wants to get in and help you. Let's look at the next. Let's go down and get this. Let's wrap this up. I'm gonna get done, okay? I promise. I was told I could go to 12, but I'm not going to go to 12. Am I helping anybody? Okay? Okay, look at this. Well, he is. Because what you're going to bring to him is going to be good. Look at verse 28. Come to me. Come to me. Let's go to verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me. Come to me, you people that won't repent that I told you to repent. Remember that? You guys, I'm all in context here, right? We're talking about sin. We're talking about Chorazin. We're talking about Bethsaida. We're talking about Sidon. We're talking about Tyre. People who sin in these towns, if they just would have repented, he wouldn't have wiped the town out. Wouldn't that be something if we didn't repent and God wouldn't wipe out Pollock Pines? Ooh, and he won't if we just do what he says. Now watch this. Come to me, all you who labor. That means to be grow weary and tired and exhausted and toil and grief of working in your flesh to try to get right with God. Wait a minute, bless God.
I'm healed.
Oh, I don't feel, I talked to her. I don't feel healed today. Oh, I repent. Wait, I'm back over here. I'm healed. And then I tell someone, how do you feel? Oh, I'm not feeling good today. Wait a minute. No. I'm the healed. Do you see how that so works? That's a toil. Come to me, all you that are in labor. Now look what he says here. Are heavy laden. Do you feel the burden of your sin? And sometimes you go to church and you feel better, but you haven't got rid of it. Remember, he's talking about sin. Is he not saying repent? Come to me. I can stay off the pot for about a month, but I get back and smoke a joint. You know what's legal now. Oh, really? I'll tell you what I told one person in my church. They said, Pastor, this is before pot was legal. Pastor, did God make all the plants I read in? I said, oh, he made everything. He said, marijuana? I said, yeah. He said, well, so it's okay to smoke it. I said, well, let me ask you a question. If you didn't get high on it, would you smoke it? I said, before you answer that question, you see that pine tree? Go scrape the bark and smoke that. He said, this is what he told me. Touche, I won't smoke. You got a back problem? Let me pray for you. You don't need marijuana. See, you're smoking it because you can get high. You got a green card, but guess what? You took the red card out, the blood of Jesus, and put it in the back seat and stepped into sin. Oh, you're legalistic. No, I'm just being honest. Because if you have something, why are you smoking pot? Because it's altering. It's never going to correct it. Let's get you healed. Let's lay hands on you and get you healed so you don't get hooked up on pot. You know how many people we lost in ministry to pot? A lot of people that used to do music smoke pot, and they're no longer in ministry anymore. No longer. I'll tell you what, I won't let anybody smoke pot be in my ministry. Never. You say, why? Because there's other things they're hiding. Because they don't really believe God. You follow what I'm saying? Folks, I'm telling you stuff. We got to get rid of the sin. Now look at this. Come on to me, all you who are labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. That word rest, listen to the word rest. I'm going to give you rest. You're not going to get all worked up and try to do stuff. I'm going to give you to recover, to collect strength again, to be refreshed again, to keep you quiet and calm, to put oneself back in the right spot with me of peace. Rest. Recreation. Now look at this. Take my yoke. That word yoke, we've heard that it's where you hook up two cattle, right? But that's not what this is. It's a place, listen to this now, it's a balance and a pair of scales that you submit to that puts on there. So when you get out and go the wrong way, the scale goes, and you go, whoa, I got to get it back. You see what I'm saying? It's the scales that keep you balanced. I stand on this, I have scales. I'm starting to go this way, whoa, I got to step back. The scales put me back. That's what Jesus does. The scales keep us going. I want to smoke the joint going this way. The scale goes, no. And I go, boop, 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 boop. Hey, yeah. Then I can sing that song. She don't know how beautiful. Okay, here we go. Take my yoke upon you and learn. The word learn there means to hear, be informed, to learn by use. Listen to me. By practice. To practice. To learn as the scales of God's word starts telling you, you're learning as you're practicing the word. You're working the word. It gets you free. It keeps you whole. It keeps you right. Learn from me. You learn from him. Look at, for I am gentle. Listen, he's going to tell you about what your soul is going to become. I'm gentle. Meaning, I'm mild. I'm strength under control. I'm not going to, 1 minute you make a mistake, I'm not going to, boom, hit you. I'm going to work with you. But you got to stay with me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly. I'm humble. I make myself of no reputation. He says here, lowly in heart, meaning in my soul, in my thoughts, in my passions, in my desire. He says, and you will find rest. That word rest means intermission, recreation. For your soul, your mind, your will, your emotion. For my yoke, my balance of scales is easy. That means this. It's virtuous. That means moral excellence. It means good, mild, pleasant, kind. God's never going to leave you not to be like that. And my burden is light. Light and weight, quick, agile. It puts you agile, mobile. Get you to move without being strung up with anything. Close your Bibles. Before we take communion, to take communion and be in sin is to say that you don't need the blood to wash away the sin. And when you eat the wafer means that you're no longer going to live on your own, but you're going to live by the Word of God. You can't willfully be in sin and say you're going to live on the Word. I mean, on the Word. It doesn't work. Does everybody understand that? That's not repentance. To take the blood and drink it when you know that the blood is to wash away your sin, but you're not going to get out of your sin, that's not right either. Does everybody understand that? You might as well have an Oreo and drink something else. Because the elements are not... You do it in remembrance of Him. He's the Savior. This is all saving. Listen to me. This is to bring you back to saving reality. This isn't lordship. Want to know what this table is about? Saving you from your sin. See, we get it all wrong. We haven't been taught right. And it's not, listen to me, it's not the body of Christ's fault. You want to know what the fault it is? The ministers. Because everybody wants to be wowed. What's the new latest and greatest? Is pastor going to fly off, you know, is he going to get a helicopter this week and he's going to teach on propelling with God as he steps out of the elevator and comes down? Hey, come on, you know, the helicopter and he steps out. Hey, everybody turn to this scripture. Da, you know, and you can propel with God. You know that mess? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus wasn't like that. Listen to me. That's called Hollywood getting into the body of Christ. And then you know what you become? Spectators rather than participators. And then the pastor does all the work. And that's why the pastor gets out of the ministry and falls into sin. Because he's not made to do it alone. Folks, we need everybody. My job is to teach, but I'm still a witness throughout the week. I'm still a Christian. I'm a Christian before I'm a pastor. I'm a husband before anything. I'm a daddy. I'm a grandpa. I'm all those things. But I know I'm in Christ. And I love God. I do. I truly love God. And when I sin, you ask my wife, I get it right. And if you're around, you hear it, I'll get it right with you. This is not a confessing time for you to confess to everybody. But if you know you've been convicted by God today, before we take the elements, get right with the Lord.